The following episode of Epic Fail is brought to you by Spoke, a new free listening app from SiriusXM.
The following is an at-will presentation.
You want to hear my story about my epic fuck-up?
I really do.
All right, here it goes. When I first started on Broadway.
Nice shot.
And that time, I did get a black eye.
And he starts shaking, but one by one, the cast has to turn towards me.
And my character yells, strut in a circle. And I got the part.
Hey everyone, Jen Ashkowitz here, and thanks for joining me on another episode of Epic Fail, the podcast where we hear stories from performers about the times they failed on stage, on screen, and on set. The past 7 weeks, we've heard stories that were humiliating, embarrassing, and downright traumatizing. And that's why this week, we're flipping things around to hear how our performers stay optimistic in times of epic failure. Joining me this week, star of Broadway's Wicked, Jackie Burns, Tony Award winner, and starring in the upcoming revival of Carousel, Jesse Mueller. One of my co-stars on Glee, Kevin McHale. From Broadway's Wicked, Carrie St. Louis. From the new movie, The Greatest Showman, Kayala Settle. From the Spring Awakening revival on Broadway, Katherine Gallagher. From the Blue Man Group, Greg Balla. From the Broadway play, Significant Other, Gideon Glick. First up this week, Jackie Burns tells us how she copes with a bad performance.
I mean, what do you do after like a bad audition or a bad performance? Like, do you beat yourself up?
Yeah, but I usually do it with like a double cheeseburger from Shake Shack.
So that's your thing?
That's my thing. Or a cupcake. And if it's like a really bad audition, then you like, if I'm not sated by like the double cheeseburger or a cupcake, then I like probably will go home and cry.
And does that make you feel better? Do you like allow yourself a specific amount of time, or does it linger? Or is that it? Does the cheeseburger like satiate that and like move on?
Depends on how bad the audition was. Usually yeah. The cheeseburger is like, all right, better luck next time. You know what I mean? Yeah. But if it's really bad, then I go home and I cry. And just pray that the next morning I'll feel better about my life.
So the food is the way?
Food is the way for me. Yeah, you'll know I've had a bad audition if you see me online on 42nd Street at the Shake Shack line. Like, she's had a bad audition.
If you have a bad audition, do you, like, fear for the next one? Like, another PTSD thing? Or is it just, like, a new experience for you?
It usually is a new experience. I usually will let it go after a few days.
Let it go.
Yeah, just like the song.
Let it go. That's Jackie's favorite karaoke song, by the way.
Shh, don't tell everybody.
Told. When Carrie St. Louis messed up a performance of Wicked, she didn't eat for a week. Luckily for us, she bounced back and regained her hunger for performing. After your week of no eating, like, what do you do to get yourself back on that
stage? You're
such
an optimistic person. I mean, it's sort of fight or flight. I mean, you don't really have an option. You sort of are just like, I got to push myself through this. I mean, it's funny to me that I still get so nervous. Like we were saying at the princess party, it's like I still get so nervous for everything. And I think that that's good. I think it's good to have an element of, oh, like, this could go horribly wrong, but you're putting yourself out there, and that's the job that we do. And people like that when you're very open and vulnerable. So I think I just go back to when I, in terms of staying optimistic after fucking up, it's sort of like you got to go back to, I know how to do this. Like, I have done this so many times, and I've done things way scarier than this.
Right.
So it's.
And the risk of like. Making a mistake is, like, always going to be there, and you're going to do it 1 out of 3.
Yeah, you know? That's the thing. Yeah.
And, like, it's fine, and that's why people laugh.
It's fine. But, like, what we do is crazy. Like, why do we do
it really
this?
Is.
It's sort of ridiculous. Other people can't fathom it at all.
Right.
You know, my parents included. They're not.
No, I know.
They're shy.
They can't fathom it because they think that fear of, like, messing up.
Yeah, like, how, like, do you go out there and do that
every night?
But you can't stop and think about it that way. Like, right. I think that the reason I didn't eat for a week was because I started going, oh, God, I'm a part of this huge corporate show, and everyone knows this show, and it's, you know, so much responsibility. And the second I start thinking about how much responsibility is on me, then I'm going to be terrible.
Yeah, so the pressure is on then.
Yeah, like, it's just like, I'm here for a reason. I got this for a reason. I've worked really hard. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, it will all work out. I hope. In the end. Is that inspiring?
Jesse Mueller does not enjoy messing up on stage, but she has a great philosophy on staying positive when she does.
Are you hard on yourself when you mess up?
Yes, always.
I don't have to ask that, but yeah.
Yeah, you know that.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. I'm such a perfectionist, which is such a lot of bad idea.
I know, it's bad idea.
Bad idea.
How do you kind of get past that and get back on stage?
I think I tried to remember that hopefully most people, from the audience perspective, they're in it. They're in the magic. Like from our side of things, from my point of view, I know the ins and outs and the little minutiae of every moment. And I know when I think one moment didn't go as well as another. But hopefully I try to remind myself that the audience doesn't have that insider knowledge. And hopefully we've done our job up until the mishap. And then we will do our job after the mishap, that it won't ruin anything for them. It won't seem as blatant as it feels.
Right.
From the inside. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know.
And also, I hope that most people, you know, God bless, a lot of people come back and see a show more than once, but most people, like, that's the first time they're seeing a show, so they don't have anything to compare it to.
Right, exactly.
I
also think the fans who come back all the time love to see those little
They
fans.
Probably do. I mean, if you, like, fall flat on your face or something, people probably know something's wrong.
Right.
But for the most part, hopefully people kind of don't. Notice those little things.
Again, it's live theater. That's what you're getting.
Yeah, isn't that part of the wonder of it all? Mm-hmm. I mean, that it's, like you said, when sets break or things like that, I feel like people really love that stuff.
They
in
do.
A lot of ways.
I mean, unless you're sitting there for 2 hours, like, you know, it's,
right.
it's fun.
Or if it comes to the point where the show can't continue and people feel like they're not getting their money's worth,
right.
or they don't get to see what they came to see. But I think for the most part, if something, there's so much in our world now with, like, everything is shared. It's like nothing is sacred. Nothing is private. Nothing is special anymore. So sometimes when you do see something or something unique happens, whether it is a mishap or something wonderful,
right.
I think there's something people really do appreciate that
totally.
Because
it's special.
It's special.
I know.
It's special.
Yeah, you're like, I was there for that show.
Yeah.
When her wig fell off.
Oh, my God. Has that ever happened to you?
No, thank goodness. It's gotten close, though, when Kayla changes my hair after Soft Place.
she has to pull a pony out.
And sometimes, like.
Yeah, you never held it. I was there.
No. They have
That's
to
amazing.
Hold
I
the top of my head and then pull the hairband out. And, like, when Charity would go on at the beginning, the first time she pulled it out pretty hard. And I was like, oh, God, don't do that.
Because then you're also looking at your scene partner like, would this person tell me if I had no wig on or if it's 3 inches farther back than it should be?
They're like staring at you and you're like, what?
Yeah.
You can't
that's always that's always a strange moment on stage where you feel like someone's staring at you and you can't figure out why.
Right.
And my mind usually goes to.
It's something's wrong.
Something. Yes. I have a booger on my face or.
My wig is completely halfway behind.
Half of my costume is off.
Next, Kevin McHale explains how to stay positive during an audition, even when everything seems to go terribly wrong.
There's something to be said for cold reading, or where you sort of have that excuse where the casting director knows
that you
it's
don't
not
have,
going to be perfect. But it's also that adrenaline of and the freedom of knowing that, okay, this doesn't have to be perfect, but you I feel like you're almost
there's
more,
less
more
expectation
to like put yourself fully into it, because when you have, not to say that preparing is bad, but sometimes you can get
you overthink it
and you'll start to be like, oh wait, my instinct, I felt good about it, and now you start to think it, I'm like, oh, maybe what I was doing was wrong.
Yeah.
And you start to change everything.
Right.
Or you have an idea and you get stuck on one thing.
Yeah.
And you just always say that one line the same way, and it's like, no, that's
I went in for a big franchise movie, and I had to sign an NDA, a non-disclosure, which means you can't tell anybody what you've read or what it's about. So I go in, and they won't even give us the sides beforehand. So I go in, and I sign the NDA, and they give you an hour before your appointment, and you read it. And then you learn it as much as you can. And then you go in and you put it on tape. And then you give the thing back. You sign it out and you leave. And it's erased from your memory.
Yeah. I've done that as well. It's exhilarating.
I'm telling you, I did that and there were pages. I went in there. I was mortified. I was like, this is like 3 full pages of paragraphs. How the freak am I ever going to do that? I got 3 callbacks. Mm-hmm. I went in on the first one, and I fucking nailed it on the first time because you're just not thinking about it. You don't overthink it. You're going, well,
I'm just
here goes
it.
Nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing. I mean, not that I hope all auditions are like that.
Yeah.
But I think that there's something to realizing, like, I've gone in for auditions. Like, I messed up the Glee one. I made it look like they were, you know, it was the pianist's fault. And I forgot there was a line, another line. I didn't read the whole way through the script. So, like, you know, and I still got it.
Yeah.
We're still standing.
I messed up my Glee audition, too.
It's all good.
I think the thing is you can't let the small things throw you. And they still throw me today.
Oh, of course they do. We're human.
Yeah.
I wanted to take a few moments to tell you about Spoke, a new listening app from SiriusXM and a partner of Epic Fail. Spoke is more than just a podcast app. It's a social audio platform. You can listen to podcasts, radio programs, documentaries, and more. Have you ever had a difficult time finding a podcast? Well, Spoke has a team of curators, real live humans, not robots, who help you discover your new favorite podcast or show by finding the best moments and highlights and organizing them into thematic playlists. For me, there are so many podcasts that I want to listen to, but it's so overwhelming to start listening to each of them because I have no idea what I'm going to like or what's good. So this is like a friend sharing their playlist with you, allowing you to listen to the best clips from each song. If you like what you hear, you can join the conversation and leave a voice comment. You can also share anything you find on the app with friends or on social media. That's right, hit me on the gram. You can download Spoke from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Go to hearspoke.com/atwill to support Epic Fail or your favorite shows on the Atwill Network. Kiala Settle loves to laugh, which is always the best medicine for getting over a bad performance. You apparently laugh at yourself.
I have
to.
I mean, come on. You have to. I mean, growing up, we all did. We all made fun of each other as kids.
Right.
And my mother and father made it so that we just entertained ourselves, so they really didn't have to do anything. And it ended up being that way and continues to be that way. I mean, yeah, we're so thick as, you know, thieves, and everyone says blood is thicker than water. But in that same regard, we still get pissed off at each other. We still get mad at each other, but we always come back around because we always know what the hell was going on. And it's like, dude, can we, you know, I'm sorry, just say it, let's go.
Right.
But yeah, we've always laughed at each other. We still do to this day, which you know.
Yeah, you know.
Totally know.
I know. Laughter is also a key component in Catherine Gallagher's strategy to stay optimistic.
I'm super hard on myself, but about different things.
Right.
It's all about how it ends up.
Yeah.
Like, if there's moments where, like, I've forgotten words or something and, like, whatever, it's generally fine. No one really cares. If I, like, mess up, like, I remember I was playing in the Wallace production of Spring Awakening.
This is before Broadway. Okay.
And our sound was a disaster. I played a different guitar every song in that show. And we didn't have wireless packs attached to the guitar. We had them attached to our mic belts. So every time I picked up a guitar, I had to unplug it, replug it, like, do this whole thing.
Got it.
Took so long. It was one of our performances, and I didn't plug in my guitar while I'm starting Dark I Know Well.
No!
Which is just guitar. And so I start playing it, and I'm like, I'm already singing. So I couldn't, like, I was like, I can't, like, plug it in even. And that was a moment where I was like, that was, like, so clearly, like, my fuck up. Like,
right,
yeah,
right,
I was like,
right.
And it ruined my performance. I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, this is, like, so I was hard on myself for that.
Yeah.
And it's, like, I'm hard on myself for, like,
things you can kind of control.
Yeah. Like, everyone, like, falls. And, like, that stuff is funny.
Yeah.
But when it's not funny, I'm hard on myself.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah.
I think that's
well, the things
much
beyond
like,
your control are, like,
yeah, it's like,
it happens and you laugh.
Right, exactly.
But if you forget to do something,
then it's just
you're like,
crap. That was stupid.
Yeah.
If it's like happenstance and it's funny.
Yeah.
If I get a laugh, I don't feel bad about it.
Clearly.
Like, honestly.
Clearly.
But you know, when I don't get a laugh and it's just like awkward, I'm like, oh shit. Like, that's not good.
Next, Greg Bella explains what a double zero means during a performance of Blue Man Group.
We track every show. Blue Man is unique, I think, in that they do notes after every single performance.
What?
And the notes aren't like, you know, you suck here, do better. They're more a conversation about the show because there are so many variables. How did this go tonight? How is this audience participant? Could we have picked somebody better? Mm. How is my throwing? How is this about the show? So we have what we call every week, we count every ball that drops or everyone that bounces, everyone that's caught. So the idea is to get no drops and no bounces, and we call that a double zero. So if you don't miss any, it's called a double zero. So that's what we always aim for. So it's just a way to track how we're doing there.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so that's one thing. But it's not like they admonish you unless it's you start to be.
Do you keep your record? Do you have like a really high score and a low score?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess one day on the cruise ship was probably among my higher scores. That wasn't that I'm not too proud of. But you know, it's
do you get a lot of double zeros?
Yes, we always aim for double zeros, and we would have a contest and say like, all right, if you don't get a double zero, everybody has to do 20 push-ups, and then like if you everyone you drop, you have to do an additional 10. And so it was just this way of kind of like egging each other on. If you happen to be, you know, falling behind, then we'd have a more serious conversation, and that does happen, especially with newer guys that come into the show. And It seems hard. It's very difficult.
You guys have, like, how long is the show?
It's 90 minutes, no intermission. You're on stage the whole time. Yeah. It's very physical. You're wet. You're soaking wet after the first piece.
Oh.
You're dirty. You're covered in grease paint. Everything sounds different. You're wearing in-ears in your ears. You can't really see. You can't really hear. So it has to adjust to what that's like till that feels normal.
To finish off this week, Gideon Glick shares the mantra that helps him stay positive during a botched performance.
I did a play called Speech and a Bait, and Michael Mayer, who you know, he directed Spring Awakening, which is a show that both Jenna and I were in.
On the Broadway.
He came to see Speech and a Bait, and I remember I was like pooping in my pants nervous. And I'm happy I don't get that nervous anymore. I still get nervous, but not that nervous. You know, my heart was racing. It was a hard show to do. And in the first scene, I set up my character, and I basically, I'm on the phone with another character, and I talk about how my character came from Portland, Oregon, to this place called Salem, Oregon. And the whole point is that I came from a very liberal city to a very conservative city, and how I feel like a fish out of water. But I was so nervous that I messed up the line, and I said that I was from Salem, Oregon. And I remember I just couldn't come back from it. And this was the first scene. So the entire play, I was like, Michael Mayer doesn't understand who my character is. The entire audience doesn't understand who my character is. They're not going to get anything. And I would do the scene, and there'd be this demon on the right side of my shoulder who was just being like, they don't get it. You fucked it all up. You fucked it all up. Then, of course, you know, the show ends, and no, Michael didn't hear it. Like, he didn't.
No.
Like, also, nobody listens to every word you say. I mean, people space out. You know, it wasn't, obviously it wasn't as big of a deal, but it ruined my entire show. And since then, I have, like, created a mantra, which is, it's move the fuck on, or moveon.org. Because, you know, you don't have time. I think as actors, we overthink things. And so you don't have time to overthink what just happened. And I remember seeing the Olympics, and Simone Biles was being extraordinary, a gymnast. And I remember she would sometimes, they all do, they land and they kind of fumble or mm-hmm. stumble a little bit. Adding on to my move on is like, be like Simone. I mean, we should all be like more like Simone. Yeah. In that, like, you know, you don't have time to, like, process what just happened. You have to move forward and get the gold. And I think we're all perfectionists, and we don't want to have that little stumble, but like, you're going to have that stumble.
It's live theater or whatever it is. Yeah, you're live.
Yeah, you're live.
You're not perfect.
Yeah, yeah. And also you just have to keep going because there's a lot of people out there watching you. And this is it's happening, you know, whether it be the Olympics or like a little black box theater at the Roundabout, which is where Speech and Debate was. A couple weeks ago, I stepped on my poor cast member's shoe, and she couldn't find her shoe, so she had to leave stage without her shoe in the blackout. And then I come back in after the blackout, and I come down the stairs, and I see, oh, fuck, Zoe's shoe is in the middle of the stage. And I was like, it was plaguing me. It was plaguing me because I didn't know how to be a normal person acting with my scene partner. And it's a really heavy, heavy show.
Yeah.
And I was just very focused on this shoe in the middle of the stage. But luckily, I've been doing this for now a decade, and I have the move the fuck on.
Right.
Just like, the shoe's there. That's life. Now there's a shoe in this space. Yes, and that's just part of what's going on right now.
It's calling your name, though. It was like,
Yes. It was that demon. The demon will always, he'll always come back. He'll always come back to haunt me.
Move the fuck on. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that.
What the fuck on?
You have to, though. I mean, at this point, it's like, if you don't, you're eating at your soul.
Yeah. It's just such a waste of time and energy. And, like, it's a beautiful thing for every day, but I think it's even more effective when you're like, hey, there are people out there watching you.
Right.
Like, you really need to move on now.
And most of the time, they probably don't notice.
No. And I know the people who thought who did see the shoe. I mean, granted, like, this play, it takes place in, like, a church basement, which is kind of in disarray anyways. People thought it was, like, a purposeful thing, and they thought it was kind of cool. I mean, I didn't think it was cool. But
people are like, I get the shoe.
Yeah, they thought
it was
a thing.
It was so symbolic.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It was very artistic.
Oh,
I really appreciated the shoe.
I mean, another thing that happened that I wasn't a part of, thankfully, same actress, poor actress, Zoe Winters. She, like, turns the light on, and the stage manager called the wrong cue, and she, like, turns the light on. Instead of the light turning on, a rainstorm sound cue starts. And people, again, thought it was purposeful because, you know, I think we all do. We all assume what we're seeing is
intended. Meant to happen, right.
Yes. And so, and in the show, this guy is trying to look for a sign. He's looking for meaning. And so people just assume that that was
part of the meaning and part of it.
That's the end of episode 8. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. And don't forget to follow at Will Radio and at Jenna Ushkowitz to stay updated with all the latest. Thanks for listening and see you next week for the Epic Fail Awards. Thanks again to our partner, Spoke, SiriusXM's new app that allows you to listen to podcasts, radio programs, and documentaries curated for you. Go to hearspoke.com/@will now.